Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Are you excited about being in church? Amen. Me too. I think there's something powerful about family where as we grow in family, we cheer each other on, encourage each other, get excited for each other. I think I've been growing in God this past year, especially. I've been learning about His love for me and how much He loves me. How much He loves you too, but from my perspective, how much He loves me. All the years that I didn't know how much He loved me, I didn't receive that love. See? And so what's been allowing me to grow more in this love isn't Him loving me more, but me learning how much He loves me and receiving that. See? And part of that has been the learning family. When I was a young preacher, I would fight other young preachers, compete with other young preachers, we're supposed to rejoice when they do good, and I wouldn't. And I was in a place where they didn't teach praying in tongues as, a tool so much. I think it was just more to make you peculiar than it was actually something that could transform you. So when I got hold of the prayer message and started to learn a few things, then it really got me in trouble. Because then we'd have preachers come in. I think, I can do a better job on that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And what religion does, religion takes a gnat and chokes on it. But it can swallow a camel. And what that means is a religious person looks at the preacher or looks at you and finds one thing they have truth on you, that they know more than you. And they find that one little thing, and that's the gnat they choke on, so they don't have to listen to the rest of your message. They don't have to listen to all the truth because they found a little gnat. Anyways. As I've been growing more in love the last few years, I'm really finding myself enjoying family as well. And that means you. I'm blessed to see when you're blessed and excited to see. I look at Pastor Dave and Tim and Gary here, and they let us young guys preach and get in trouble a little bit sometimes. And you can just see how pleased they are when you do well. And that's not the place I came from. Over the years, the job was to try, it seemed like it was more competition than it was family. And so I'm saying all this just to encourage us, let's keep walking in the family. Amen? And if anything I'm learning, it is that you are just as important as anyone else. And God needs you to be you. Jesus, when he walked, I'm sure he had a certain type of walk. I don't know if he walked strong or shuffled or how he walked, but he walked like Jesus walked. He had a certain type of laugh. I don't know if it was a barrel laugh or a machine gun laugh or but he laughed, and it was his laugh. That's how Jesus laughed. And I'm sure certain jokes made him, laugh, or other jokes he didn't get, And I'm sure, I don't know if he'd get any of Pastor Dave's jokes, but he might get some, just like me. I get some of Pastor Dave's jokes. we're all to be like Jesus in character. We're all to be like Jesus in love. We're to walk like he walked in love, We're to walk like he walked in character. We're to be like him when it comes to holiness. We're to walk, these are the things we are to walk into. His character, his love, his holiness, his purity, his anointing. This is how we're to be just alike, no matter what our calling is. But we're not to be like Jesus when it comes to his personality, to his laugh, to his walk. We're not to be copycats of each other. We're to be individual. That's what makes us special. See? That's what makes you special. Because there's no one else in the world that can do what you do for other people or for God. You know. And being free from that means you don't have to be a shotgun minister. You don't have to be great at everything. Just be great at what you are, who you are. See? And that's what fits us into the body, into the family. All right, I want to start in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to try to teach you a little bit. Now, before you get your mind goes right to verse 26, that is the foundation of this chapter, is praying in the Holy Ghost. We'll start in verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, say sufferings, of this present time, okay, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Now, you can take any human and put him through suffering if you know you're going to win. In the end, the suffering's worthwhile. If you want to have a big bank account, you can suffer and not use your credit cards and not buy a bunch of stuff for a couple of years and put it in the savings account and that type of thing. And then you suffered for a couple of years, but a few years later you'll reap the reward of your suffering. You can go to the gym and work out and sweat and jog, but the reward will be worth it, even though you're suffering in that moment. The type of suffering he's talking about is one that produces glory. What I don't want to do is suffer in something that doesn't produce glory. I don't want to go down a bunch of dead-end roads with my life and my time, chasing anointing, chasing finances, chasing revival. That type of suffering doesn't end in glory. That's just suffering for suffering's sake. And much of what the church preaches today in America is suffering for suffering's sake. A lot of dead-end roads. You have to be careful who you listen to. And I mean that. I want to say that again. That was heavy when that came out. That was strong on me when that came out. We have to be careful who we listen to. We have to be careful who we trust and believe that says, I can take you to financial prosperity. If you do this like I did, you'll have financial prosperity. And it won't work for you. Much of what's accomplished in the church is out of natural ability today. It's out of our own soulish, natural soul, our own power. And if I'm growing in anything, I'm learning that Alan Taylor really doesn't have much to offer God. That my job is to be more of a vessel, a pure vessel, to allow him to do what he can do so much more than what I do for him. So we have to be careful who we listen to. When you're going through a battle, your eyes can start looking around. Well, I was doing really good till I heard praying the Holy Ghost. And then all hell came against me. I'm driving a beat up used car. I left the prayer. I was praying here one morning at the church for a few hours, and I prayed too much because I was kind of, you know, in a different world a little bit. And went and get some gas, and this girl pulled out of the parking lot and ran right into me and dented the whole side of my car, hit my wheel, my front wheel, which fell off later. Big old dent in my car. We didn't have any money. We were broke, but I thought, all right, insurance. Okay, that'll cover it. And this little, she was a nice, big, nice SUV. She was driving, this girl. And I said, okay, well, come here. And I was being nice. I said, well, just tell me your name. And I'll write it down and tell me your insurance number and that. And I wrote it all down. Give me your phone number. And she said, well, I really have to go. I got school. I said, okay, well, you know, you go ahead. We'll I got what I need. And I was just, you know, prayed too much, I think, that day. I don't know. So when I went to call her back, the number was the wrong number. The insurance was the wrong insurance. So now I'm driving, preaching to these churches, and I got a big dent on the side of my car that I can't afford to fix. And so I'd pull up, and I'd park with the big dent on the away from the church, away from the people, so they couldn't see it. You know, you know, it's just, you do what you have to do, right? And you're driving your car; it's run, you know, prosperity seems, you're believing for it, you're standing for it, and it's running away from you. And your family is fighting an extra fight just because you're praying. Your family starts to fight, have to fight just to be normal, you know. And you're wondering, what's going on? I'm praying. And this other guy comes up beside you, and his car's brand new. He says, looks at you and says, well, you must have sin in your life. Look at how God's blessing me. Don't you know that when you follow God, there's prosperity, there's blessings, there's peace. But most of that has to do with their soul. See? Because if you, even though you're dry, maybe fighting in prosperity and fighting and struggling with things in your life because of you're walking down this road, if you looked into your heart, you'd find a peace. See? And that kind of peace the world will pay $1 million for. See? What that peace is your spirit knows God. See, your soul doesn't know God. Your natural soul does not know God. And as much as you can try to make it, it will never know God. So when we begin to go transform out of living out of our natural soul and start living out of our spirit, we have to trust only what we feel, that peace. Our soul screaming to us, yelling at us, you're failing, you're missing something, something's wrong with you. You're not doing enough. You're not doing it right. I know you quoted scripture, but maybe you should be using the King James instead of the New King James. That's where the problem is. And it's amazing how our soul, our natural soul, starts to kind of pop up during those times and look for something else. Like a little periscope pops out. Ding, ding, ding. I'm looking for the road. There's another way out of here. Help me, help me. You know. And we can grab onto a wrong teacher. Now listen. God bless every ministry, every church that preaches Christ. There are a lot of great ministries who get people saved, and God will work with them, and you'll see miracles in their ministries, and you'll see God bless them. Even if they're in the soulish realm, God's still going to bless them. But you may be on a different road than they are. Christy gets mad at me every time I watch the TV programs, Christian church TV programs, do their fundraising. But I'll tell you, I've been through it, where I've been through a battle, and I hear a preacher say something, and my soul gets all excited. Maybe it'll work. Maybe that'll work. But there's sufferings that if we walk in them, they're only going to produce suffering. It's suffering for suffering's sake. I'm going to plant a seed to see my child heal. You know, plant a seed of finances to get a harvest of money. See, we can plant all the seeds we want, and it's going to reap a harvest that's huge. But it's going to be a harvest of souls. I don't mind suffering if it's a suffering that produces glory. In your spirit man, in your spiritual soul, in your spiritual mind, you will find peace when you're following God. I thought when I first moved here and everything didn't go exactly right, it was really my soul that was arguing with me. I thought, you know, maybe things would be better. You know, Pastor Dave said that, you know, he stepped out and followed God, and in 3 months, his first big financial miracle came and caught him back up for those 3 months of fighting. I thought, well, you know, I can do 3 months. I can survive for that. And I prayed, and 3 months later, nothing. 4 months later, nothing. 5 months later, nothing. I don't think yet I've had a great big breakthrough. I've had a million little breakthroughs. And so when we started battling with my soul, my natural soul. See, you have a natural soul and a spiritual soul. My natural soul was fighting me to be in charge. I had to choose to trust the peace that was on the inside of me. See, I had to hold on to that peace. Say, this is all I have. This is it. This is all I have. My only sign that I'm going to make it is I have peace on the inside of me. And what God was leading me to do was to cut every avenue that I could fix my problems, to cut them off and to become totally and completely reliant on Him. How many have been through that? Praying in tongues, that messes us up. And I thought, okay, I'll win this battle. And then I'll get a break for a while. And then I'll have another battle. And then I'll have a break and recoup. And what I was thinking, I was let my soul off the hook for a little bit. My natural soul off the hook for a while. Let it have its way for a bit. And then I would follow God some more into more fighting, that I'd kill my flesh. But God didn't give me a chance. Once I won that, there was another battle right away, and another battle right away, and another battle. And what I've learned about this place of peace is that it's a bubble that you live in above your circumstances, and you learn to feel safe when you're not safe. Because it hasn't stopped. I still haven't stopped fighting. The battle has never stopped since I've really walked this walk out. The battle has never stopped. But I quit listening to my natural soul and found a little home above all my troubles called peace. I learned to trust, that voice of peace on the inside of me. See, what peace means, if you listen to it, it's when your spirit man looks into your future and sees the glory, what's going to be produced. by you allowing yourself to walk through whatever it takes, whatever the enemy throws at you. So, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? Us. The sufferings, the warfare that come, the battle with your soul, your natural soul, and who's in charge, and the battle with the enemy who's coming against you and against your family and against the people in your circle that are around, that are attached to you to slow you down, to stop you. That's the sufferings he's talking about. Whatever sufferings you and I find ourselves going through on this road out of obedience to God is going to produce glory in you. You're not wasting your time. On the road to the high call, there are roadblocks there to stop you. The roadblocks of suffering, not from God. Areas of your life that you have to let die. If we don't pass through these, we will never get to the high call of God. See, I figured out how to get rid of the thorn in my flesh. It's only one way. The best way to get rid of the thorn in your flesh is to let your flesh die. When your flesh is dead, it can't feel the thorn. See? That's how you have victory over that. We can't make the thorn go away. But we can make it lose its power over us. See? Okay. Verse 18, chapter 8. Read it with me. You have to read it out loud, but I'll read it. You read it with me. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, we're going to skip through the next part of this chapter, go through verse 26, which qualifies everything. Likewise, the Spirit helps with our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we're going to go to verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now we understand, because of verse 26, that the things, the sufferings that he's talking about, the things that are going to work together for our good, are not car wrecks, are not sickness or disease, are not wrong sufferings, sufferings that are only for suffering's sake, but are whatever happens to us because we're on a road of following God. That all things, because we pray in the Holy Ghost, when we're in a path of praying in the Holy Ghost, whatever sufferings that we go through are going to work together for good. The glory will show up in us, will make all the sufferings not even comparable. It is a cheap investment to go through sufferings for what we're earning because of what we're going through. What we're getting for the glory is worth so much more than what we pay for in the battle. And the promise is that peace in you, that peace of God in your spirit is a promise that if you don't quit, if you don't find another road, if you don't change course, there's glory going to be revealed in you. And all things that have come against you will be worked for your good. When you're on this path, when things don't go perfect all the time, it's usually because you're doing good, not because you're missing something. Now, keep coming. We're going to scoot down a little bit. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? What things? The battle that's coming against you. How many here are going through a battle? How many here have done everything right and haven't got the answers they expected? I had one preacher tell me now, 100-fold return on your giving isn't just 100 times. And you know, I remember Gary when he said, I calculated. You kept a log, didn't you? Yeah, a log of how much you gave and how much God was supposed to return to him. But this wasn't 100 times. This was 100-fold. Like, 1-fold is 2. 2-fold is 4. 4-fold is 16. 5-fold is, now already I'm like, man, I can get a lot for my dollar, man. When you've done everything you know to do and it doesn't work out. I've listened to all Gary's tapes and Dave's tapes and prayed and confessed. I don't see revival yet. I don't see myself walking when I'm supposed to walk in yet. A little periscope from your natural soul goes bling, 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 bling. Start looking. Maybe there's another road. See. And I'm not trying to keep us on a path that Dave Roberson says is correct or Gary Carpenter says is correct. I'm trying to keep us on a path or keep me on a path that Paul the Apostle says will bring us the victory we're after. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now remember, this is the Apostle Paul preaching. Okay. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Now look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay, look at me. I've always read that and thought, that's right. Nobody can separate me from his love. God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He'll always love me. Even when I fail, he'll love me. But see, this year I'm learning that I have been missing out on so much in my life. Not because God hasn't loved me, but because I haven't received his love. I felt condemned and refused to go to a place where I let him father me the way he's always wanted to father me. See, who can separate us from the love of Christ? He's not telling here, in this context, there's nothing that could separate God's love from me. He's always going to love me. What he's saying is, there is sufferings that you're going through because you're on this message that Paul has preached about. And we've adapted, adopted here, and we've embraced here, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. That's his key to us saying, this is what's got me into trouble, but also got me into victory. He's saying the sufferings that came with you embracing this message, it's okay because the glory that's going to be revealed in you will make it worthwhile. See? And that all things that come against you because of this, God's going to turn around for good. And he's saying whatever the enemy brings against you, if you stay on this message, it will never have power to separate you from his love, to make you walk away, to make you not embrace his love anymore. There's nothing, no tribulation, no suffering that you and I are going to go through if we stay on this message. That's why the sufferings are there, to get us to find an escape route from the sufferings and give our soul the prosperity and peace it wants. The sufferings, the battle is there to get us to walk away from fully trusting in the love of Christ. Look what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? See, this is what got me thinking. What tribulation is Jesus going through right now that's going to make him walk away from me? What persecution is Jesus going through that's going to make him stop loving me? Persecution isn't against Christ, it's against you. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or the peril or the sword? All these things came against Paul to say, God does not love you. He's not here for you. He is distant from you. The sufferings try to build a case that you're not worthy of his love. Are you still with me? Look at verse 36. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That one preacher taught me what that meant. Take a man who works all week. Construction worker sweats. His knuckles are bloody. His hands are coarse. You know, ever feel a real construction worker, their hands feel like leather, you know. Worked all week and sweated. Came home. Said, I am a conqueror. I worked and sweated all week and conquered, and now I got my paycheck. Then his little wife reached over and took his paycheck. He said, she is more than a conqueror. See, the Bible doesn't tell you to be a conqueror. It says that we are more than a conqueror. Jesus already defeated the devil. So every kind of suffering you're going through, number one, is fake. And number two, is only to your natural soul. Your natural soulish desires, your natural soulish wants, your natural soul pride that says, I deserve this, I deserve that. That's the only suffering, the one who's suffering. Your spirit man's at peace. He's happy. You're reading the word. You are eating the meat of your spirit. And your spirit man is happy. It's your natural soul that's complaining to you. Fear is rebellion from your natural soul. That's all it is. Verse 36 says, for as it is written, For your sakes we are killed all day long, yet we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him. Let's look back where that verse is coming from. It's out of Psalm 44. I know that because there's a little A by that. And verse 1, Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us. Okay, this is someone who has heard about the greatness of God from their fathers, the ones who went before them. Are you still with me? Psalm 44, verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in the days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand. But them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword. Their fathers didn't. Nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies, and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever, Selah. Now, look at verse 9. See, that was the story of their fathers. Verse 9 is the story of the son. It says, but you've cast us off and put us to shame. And you do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy. And those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. Now this is the scripture verses that the Apostle Paul is connecting to the battle that came with praying in the Holy Ghost. My father had victory. He went out and you defeated the enemies. He went out and you chased them away by your hand. It wasn't by their sword, it was by you. But when it comes to me, you've cast us off. Our armies go out and you're not there with them. They have to come back from the enemies. And those who hate us have taken spoils for themselves. And you've given us up like sheep intended for food, and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing and are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision, and to those around, all around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. Because the voice of him, that's a small him, who reproaches and reviles because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us. But we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. See, he's saying all this is coming against us, and we have been, it's not because of us. It's not because we're failing. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us into the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, in other words, it would make sense. But we haven't done that. Would not God search us out? For he knows the secret of the heart. Yet for your sake, we're killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake you, wake. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Do you ever wonder that? Arise, Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sakes. Now let's go back over to Romans chapter 8. I want you to understand the only one suffering is your natural soul. Not you. Let me have Mike. Come on up here real quick, Mike. Give me just one moment here. Mike's taller, so he'll fit good. See, you have a natural man, an outward man, and you have an inward man. Now, in this case, my outward man's a little taller, so you can see him. And my inward man's a little wider, because, you know, he prays more. See? This is who I was before I was born again, my outward man. See? But the moment I got born again, my inward man came to life. This is who I am now. I'm spiritual. This outward man belongs to Alan Taylor, who died the day I was born again. See? He's going to stay here. What feeds him is this earth. A cow eats grass. My outward man eats the cow. And it produces skin and hair and bones and all those things. See? Everything that belongs to this earth, that belonged to Adam, is going to stay here and burn up and be destroyed. There's nothing that God harvested that came from Adam. There's nothing he's going to bring with him to the next world that belongs to Adam. All that belonged to Adam is going to stay here and be destroyed. See? So you're now trapped, like I am, with an outward man, see, and an outward soul that has a fruit of lust and a fruit of ambition and a fruit of selfishness. But you also have an inward man, your spirit man. See, if you allow it to grow and feed it, it will give you fruit of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, all those things. But see, when I was born again, Alan Taylor died and left me with this ugly monkey. That is constantly fighting with me to be in charge. This outward body of mine, an outward soul, which is full of chemicals and full of dumb thinking, has the power to dictate to me my whole life where I go, what I do, how I see myself. But I also have an inward man with an inward soul, emotions, a gamut of emotions, of love that's more than the world will ever experience. Peace that the world has no idea what that is. Peace is about. See, joy, an emotion of joy that comes from your spirit is so much more powerful than any joy you can get through your outward man. See, so you have a natural body, a natural soul, and an inward body, and an inward soul. You have a natural mind and a spiritual mind. And when you started praying in the Holy Ghost, and the battle became a war, this is the guy, your outward man, who's been complaining. This is the one who's suffering. This is the one, your outward man. Your inward man is excited because the glory that's going to be revealed in you. See? All right, thank you. Give him a big hand. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? What is coming against you has no power to separate you, to make you say, where is God? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Now, where do you think he got this list from? Where do you think Paul is making a list of everything that's come against him to try to make a case that God does not love him, that God is distant from him, that God is not for him, that he's failing. The reason why he's going through so much struggles is because he's failing. Where do you think he got this list from? From practice, from experience. He's naming a list of everything that's come against him to try to convince him that the sufferings that he's suffering is not going to bring glory. That there's a better way. There's another way. There's a shallowness in our Christianity that uses our faith, that uses the faith of our spirit to go out and bring things back for our soul. What do you need, soul? I need more money. Okay, I'm going to believe that in. Here you go. What do you need? Well, I need, I don't like my little car. I want a big car. Okay. And we spend our energy believing for things. And we let our spirit man be a little servant to our soul. I guess it depends what we call prosperity. See, if you're called to bring in $1 billion to the kingdom of God and you'll do it, then that's prosperity. Not everyone's called to do that, by the way. I have, as a preacher, decided I need to, as they say, die on the right hill. You choose what hills you fight for and what shoes you'll die on. And so I can, as a preacher, make a case to say I should have the biggest house in town and the nicest car in town. Just drive a Rolls Royce. One preacher said when they found out his wife had a Rolls Royce, or a Bentley, I think it was, he said, well, so she's safe. I decided to get the best car. I'm prosperous. I'm a child of God. I'm going to get her the nicest car. I thought, well, you can probably take that $500,000 car, buy her a big SUV, and then pay some guys with that rest of the money, buy two other SUVs, drive one in the front and run behind her, and that would make her safer and cheaper. We have a shallowness of faith that says faith is what we use to bring things to our soul, instead of faith is what it takes to walk through everything the devil throws at us so we can have the glory of real prosperity. My family will be in heaven with me. My children will be in heaven with me. I got brothers that one brother I've never seen, stepbrother. He's going to be in heaven with me. I will have every penny I need to do what God has called me to do. Your faith is what's going to walk you through things. So we get to the glory. That everything the devil's brought to stop you and destroy you, it's going to be turned for good. Because you don't change course. Selfish ambition destroyed and take many people off of this road. self-preservation has taken many people off this path. Not just in the prayer center. How about over the last 10 generations? So Paul gives us this list. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, these are two of the first ones, that, you know, neither death nor life, you know, the worst thing you can do if you want to be called. Can I tell you the worst thing you can do if you want to be called? Let me tell you the worst thing you can do if you want to be called. I'm going to show you the secret of the worst thing you could do if you want to fulfill your calling. Is start living. Start your life. Start your life. Start living. Start your life. I'm going to start my life today. Today, I've conquered enough that I get to start living. I get to make some choices. I get to choose some things. Listen, we might as well just settle. See, starting life will create a religious hybrid of ministry in your life that says, my soul gets so much, my natural soul, I give him a little bit, and my spiritual man gets a little bit, and we negotiate a peace. I have a peace treaty. It says, okay, this is how much I'm going to die, and this is how much I'm going to live. I've had hundreds of young men come to me and say, God's told me to be here, but I'm having this financial struggle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this job and get extra money, and I will get myself out of debt. And once I get out of debt, then I'll come back and follow God. And not one time has any one of them ever come back. The moment you start living life and saying, okay, I can fix this, you're walking away from your calling. That's where the gnat gets in there. I can't wait to go to the prayer center. Oh, it's got to be full of good, solid, nice people. And I mean, they've got to have beautiful chandeliers. I bet they got the best carpet out there. That parking lot's full of brand new shiny cars. And everyone's smiling and happy. I'm going to walk in, you know. Some poor visitor walks in and you've just been through war. And they're, hi, how are you? It's great to be here. Yeah. I hope. You're going to hate Pastor Dave in about a week. I got one poor lady came up and I got her praying in tongues. That next week, her car broke down, lost her job. Okay, honey, please, just stay with it. It's going to work, you know. Yeah, we're glad you're here. If you're here for a few weeks, then I'll say hi to you, but you don't know. That's why we need that hugging time and shaking hand time before during the offering, so all the visitors feel a little of, you know. They come here, and the gnat says, well, these guys aren't prosperous. God's not blessing them. There must be something wrong. See, a gnat to a religious person is when they find a little thing about you or the message that is truthfully wrong. That means they have a right now to not listen to the rest of it. That's religion. One lady came to my healing service, was dragged there by a relative. She would have been healed. See, I use the New King James. And she came from a tradition that said, if it's not King James, so because I wasn't using a King James Bible, that gnat allowed her to justify not listening to the message of healing. Because she didn't want to get healed. I mean, she wanted to, but she didn't want it. It was her suffering, you know. Don't start life. The rest of your natural walk or the rest of our eternity, we don't get to do what we want to do anyway. We never get to start life. We might as well just settle. All I get to do is live in a little bubble called peace. And I let the war go on between my natural soul and the enemy. But I get to live up high. And God has taken care of me. And He'll take care of you. He won't fail. And if we stay on this road, no matter what comes against us that says, He's not here for you. He's abandoned you. Your fathers He was here for. See, Job had the same problem. But we won't preach on that yet. He is here for you. You are going to win. There is a glory that's coming that will make the sufferings pale in comparison. Not just in revival with Pastor Dave Roberson. In you and in your family and in your finances. There is a glory that's coming because you have been unwilling to change course. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. See, these things aren't coming from to God to chase Him away. They're coming to you to chase you away from God. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing if we stay in His will. If we stay on this course. This whole chapter is based on praying in the Holy Ghost. If we stay on that course. There's been times I've struggled. I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. Like I said, when I was 21 years old, I knew exactly what I was called to do. I knew it. And then I start praying in tongues and I have no idea anymore. If we just keep praying. There's been times where I didn't know. I don't know what to do, how it was going to be fixed, how things were going to be answered. And they seemed to be going worse and worse. Maybe you should do something about that. You're being neglectful. Can't you see it's dying on the vine? You need to give it some food. You need to keep it alive. Keep you're losing everything. You should fix it. And all I could do is pray in the Holy Ghost. God wants everything that you and I can do in our natural ability to die. So He can do through us amazing things. There's nothing, not one thing, the enemy's bringing to you in this present time, and you don't have to be afraid of the future or things to come. This is what I'm going through today. What I'm going to go through tomorrow, I have no idea. Listen, it doesn't matter. Because there's one rule. It's impossible if we stay on this course. For us to lose. It's impossible. There is a glory that's going to be revealed in us. That's going to shake the world. All right. See you in 30 minutes.